informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Radio. Revolution Radio brings you a platform unlike anything on the internet today. A place where voices are heard, ideas are shared, and friendships are formed. So why not join the information revolution at freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
It's great. In your mind, does the world seem inverted, backward, dissonant? Dare to think out loud. You see your rights, freedoms, your very way of life being attacked, systematically eroded. Dare to think out loud. You observe traitorous evil rewarded, stealing the future from your children and grandchildren. Dare to think out loud. You question all the jingoistic propaganda claimed to be history. Dare to think out loud. You have tuned in to the right show. Dare to think out loud. Here's an expert on original source true history, your host, the Rebel Madman, Michael Gaddy.
He said, you're sitting in the back seat of the vehicle. Do you have any say-so on where I turn or how fast I go? And I said, no, sir, I don't. And he said, it's the same way you are with this agency. So
wow.
Keep your damn mouth shut.
Jeez. That's something else. I'll have to get you guys on
Studio
together
A,
on a show.
It looks like we're on Studio A. You got that?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It looks like you're good. Go ahead, Mike.
All right, guys. Hey, sorry for some technical difficulties there, but here we are. We found our way back into the wavelength of who knows who. And so here we are with our Friday show titled Dare to Think Out Loud. And I am accompanied today with my trusty producer from down in Ecuador way, who's soon leaving, I believe. Is that correct, Dave?
Yes, it is. I've got my ticket early August. I fly back to the States. It'll be my final time flying. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah. So you got your place pretty well done, Dave, and you should, I think you said you should be back into the Continental 48 pretty soon.
Yeah. The first week of August, I already have my ticket and I'm ready to go. Everything's wrapping up here. And, I'll tell you, I think I'm getting out of here just in time. I think we're going to see some crazy alterations to our society come this fall or early winter. They're already foreshadowing it with the deadly Delta variant.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing all of that too as well. Hey, Dave, why don't you tell the folks how they can help out old Rev Radio here?
Sure, Mike. I think everyone out there listening already knows that censorship is becoming a larger and larger problem within our society. We're at the point now where you're not allowed to question the effects of an experimental medical product that's been approved for emergency use only. So that should tell you something about where our society is going. But Revolution Radio remains a bastion of free speech, no censorship for the hosts. And that's a very important thing to get ideas across to the general population. So come aboard freedomslips.com. That's freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. Become a Patreon member and try to give something every month to show that what you're hearing brings value to your life. And just remember, nobody at the station gets paid. The management doesn't get paid. Neither do the hosts. So it's all the expenses are just to keep the servers going and the station running. So help keep it going, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. And now for our good friend stuck out there in blizzard conditions in Western Arizona. How you doing, Cal?
I'm doing real good today, Mike. It's cooling down again. It's only going to get up to about 105 today.
Oh, so. Well, probably melt all that snow, right?
Yep. It'll all melt off and everything will be good.
Well, guys, on today's show, one of the things I wanted to jump into, and Cal and I have been talking about this earlier today, and Dave, I hope you'll jump in with us, is I wanted to talk about the contradictory parts of this government and how that this government, through their psychological operations, has got people in America to embrace two contradictory ideas at the same time, believing both of them to be true. And that is, in effect, a mental illness because, you know, you cannot have two contradictory thoughts and both of them be true. But through this PSYOP that has been operating in this country for some time, probably since at least the end of World War II, and it's been done gradually. They have to do everything gradually because the people will accept it in a gradual mode. Pardon me. But one of the things that I believe really depicts exactly where we are, because I today believe that we are living Orwell's book, 1984. And I'm going to give you a quote from 1984 and have you think about this, and I'm not going to do it quickly. I want you to think exactly about what he says. And so here it is, and I quote, "Now I will tell you the answer to my question. It is this: the party seeks power entirely for its own sake. We are not interested in the good of others. We are interested solely in power, pure power. What pure power means, you will understand presently. We are different from the oligarchies of the past in that we know what we are doing. All the others, even those who resembled ourselves, were cowards and hypocrites. The German Nazis and the Russian communists came very close to us in their methods, but they never had the courage to recognize their own motives. They pretended. Perhaps they even believed that they had seized powers unwillingly and for a limited time, and that just around the corner there lay a paradise where human beings would be free and equal. We are not like that. We know that no one ever seizes power with the intention of relinquishing it. Power is not a means, it is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. The object of persecution is persecution. The object of torture is torture. The object of power is power. Now you begin to understand me." Well, unquote. So that, I believe, is exactly where we are today in this country, and that we have a government, we have a group of people, international in nature, they're not all from the U.S., who are attempting to take over the entire planet for their own selfish purposes. And they've been coming at this for quite some time. Dave, I know you remember probably 6-7 months back on your program. We went into the Estes Park meeting in 1987 in Colorado, attended by Rothschild and Herbert Strong and a lot of other folks. James Baker was the keynote speaker, and where they talked about incorporating the lands into a World Conservancy Bank, which would put the properties, more and more properties, in the hands of the wealthy elite. Now, the thing that is critical for this, and Orwell gets into it quite deeply, is this process called doublethink, which is what I mentioned at the very beginning, holding two contradictory facts in your head and accepting both of them at the same time. This is exactly what the majority of Americans are doing now. So what did Orwell say about doublethink? He said, doublethink is a process of indoctrination whereby the subject is expected to simultaneously accept two mutually contradictory beliefs as correct, often in contravention to one's own memories or sense of reality. Doublethink is somewhat related to, but it does differ from, hypocrisy. Now, Orwell coined this term doublethink as part of the fictional language of Newspeak, N-E-W-S-P-E-A-K, in that book that we're talking about, the novel 1984, which was written and published in 1949. In his novel, its origin, the origins of doublethink within the citizenry was not made quite clear, but it was certainly a product of Big Brother's formal brainwashing programs, what we refer to today as psychological operations. 1984 explicitly shows people learning doublethink and newspeak due to peer pressure and a desire to fit in or to gain status within society. Think about the, you know, the virtue signaler. So that they can be seen, these people do this so that they can be seen as a loyal member of society. In the novel 1984, for someone to even recognize, let alone mention, any contradiction within the context of the party line is akin to blasphemy and could subject that person to disciplinary action and the instant social disapproval of their fellow party members. Think about that in relation to COVID. I mean, this is just absolutely perfect. Now, and Orwell considered doublethink to be a feature of the Soviet-style totalitarians, and it was reflected in a speech that was given by Joseph Stalin. Now, I'm going to quote from that speech for you. This isn't very, very critical if you want to understand the goal of the government we are now living under. And so here's what Stalin said, and I quote, "We are for the withering away of the state." In other words, people, the withering away of your freedoms, your voice in government. Think about the election. All of this is withering away. It's all an illusion. Okay, now picking up on Stalin again. "And at the same time, we stand for the strengthening of the dictatorship, which represents the most powerful and mighty of all forms of the state which have existed up to the present day. The highest development of the power of the state, with the object of preparing the conditions of the withering away of the state." That is a Marxist formula. Is it contradictory? Yes, it is contradictory. But this contradiction is a living thing and wholly reflects the Marxist dialectic. Unquote. So the Marxist dialectic is to get a society of people who believe contradictory things. Now, of course, we have these wonderful songs. How many people who run around and sing the national anthem and think that we are the land of the free and the home of the brave? How many people actually believe that? What do you think, Cal? Unmute, Cal.
There we go. It wasn't working. How many actually believe that? Probably the vast majority of the people believe that myth. They're totally convinced that they're free. They have all the licenses and permits to prove it.
Well, yeah, that I think is the thing that we are fighting against. And I believe that our number one obstacle into being a free people is the ignorance of the people who are content with slavery. To me, my fellow citizen walking around out here with a mask on, taking a vaccination, is more of a threat to me than the government that tricked them into doing it.
Agreed.
And we're seeing more and more and more of this now. You know, the military has to be vaccinated by September the 1st, came out with a directive from the Department of the Army. So now we're going to see what happens within the military. Are there any people in there who are truly brave? Or are they all bootlicking puppy chasers? And that's being derogatory to dogs.
We're about to find out.
Yes, we are. Most definitely. We're about to see exactly what's going on. And I know what's going to happen, and they will justify this. Those guys with 8, 10, 12, 14 years are going to say, I've got too much time invested. I can't quit. Man, there goes my career. There goes my retirement. There goes my benefits. I can't do that. Well, the people who say that are frickin' whores. They're willing to sell their freedom and your freedom for money. The very definition of a whore. But they will say it. The people who will come to your door to seize your weapons are whores. Because tyranny cannot exist with 545 people doing all of the bad, nasty work. And those are the people in government. Without the willing enforcers, tyrannical government is an impossibility. As I said the other day, and put it into a meme on Facebook, if this thing was left up to 545 people to execute, it would never happen. And for people who are saying, okay, well, who are the 545? Well, we got, you know what, the members of Congress, the Supreme Court, and the president, the executive. So those are the people and their handlers. Of course, the people who tell them what to do, the people who own them, the people who use them for their ulterior motives. So we've got that, and we know that. So this is where we are, and the people around you are the threats, more so than government. People who will accept the actions of a corrupt government are more dangerous than the government agent, because they will tolerate it. And the more people who will tolerate it, the better it is for the tyrant. And so we think today we have this crazy idea that we are in effect free. And we looked recently, you know, 11 days ago, July the 4th, we looked at the Declaration of Independence, and we've talked about the Declaration of Independence, supposed to be the core element of America, the Declaration of Independence. But the federal government does not want you believing in the principles of the Declaration of Independence, because it's contrary to what they want. And they will say in the Declaration of Independence, you have the right to overthrow a government. You have the right to reform, abolish. You have the right to do all of this. It says that in the Declaration of Independence. It says that in every state constitution. That is stated very simply. Article 2, Section 1 of the Arkansas Constitution says it very explicitly. The power resides within the people. The people have the right to alter, reform, or abolish the government as it's to suit their own happiness. That's what it says. It's right there. It's in the Declaration of Independence. But don't you frickin' try it. Don't you even think that you can. Because did you know to exercise the principles of your own state constitution, the powers that they say that are granted to the people, the thing that is said in the Declaration of Independence, if you try to exercise those, did you know there is a federal law against exercising the principles of your state constitution and the Declaration of Independence? Yes. And you would find that in 18 U.S.C. 2384. Let me read that for you. If two or more persons in any state or territory or in any place subject to the jurisdiction of the United States conspire to overthrow, put down, or to destroy by force the government of the United States, or to levy war against them, or to oppose by force the authority thereof, or by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States, or by force to seize, take, or possess any property of the United States, contrary to the authority thereof, they shall each be fined or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. Unquote. The pursuit of liberty, the pursuit of justice, which might entail that you overthrow or throw off a corrupt government, is against the law. So for you people out there who believe that you are the land of the free and the home of the brave, and believe that you could execute the principles of the Declaration of Independence, or to execute the actual wording of your state constitutions, to believe that is a total contradiction. You do not have that power. If you try to exercise those powers, you will go to prison. Now, we've looked at the January the 6th. Now, it is my total belief that was a PSYOP. The government infiltrated several agencies, including the Oath Keepers and others, and they put their agents to work in there. And then they used that January the 6th protest. Now, wait a minute. January the 6th, those people in Washington, D.C., according to the Declaration of Independence and according to state constitutions, had a right to alter, reform, or abolish the state government if their election had been stolen. They had a right to do that, according to those documents. But they're in jail. You want to elaborate on that a little bit, Cal?
Well, they're not only in jail. They can't use the principles found in the Declaration of Independence in their own defense because the government doesn't recognize those principles.
Well, how can we have... In essence, Cal, am I wrong? The founding of this country would have been a felony?
Yeah.
If it happened today?
Well, yeah. Well, according to England and the Crown, it was a felony.
Oh, and so. Let me see. I'm trying to think of the gentleman from Maryland who signed the Declaration of Independence, Carroll from Maryland. He was actually threatened by King George with hanging if he signed that document. And, of course, Hancock did, too. That's why he signed his so in such a large form. But they signed that declaration. They were all felons in the eyes of King George when they did that.
Well, Mike.
Go ahead.
What did they call King George? They called him a tyrant because he was usurping their rights. So if a government is usurping your rights, isn't that make it a tyrannical government?
Absolutely, Cal, and we know that, you know, and that's
but we're free. How can that be?
That's but double
Mike,
think.
I'm free.
It's double think. You are not free. No one in this country is free.
No, they're not.
It's an illusion. People are holding two contradictory thoughts in their mind at the same time.
That's how mythology works.
Okay, well, let's just take a short look here at this guy from Massachusetts by the name of Samuel Adams. Now, let me see. I was looking around here to see if I had a Samuel Adams beer. What a great time to be partaking while I was talking about the man himself. But anyway, Samuel Adams, who was motivated to action by Patrick Henry's Virginia resolves against the Stamp Act, was able to unite several factions within Boston society using the Loyal Nine as the example. Samuel Adams was a felon for doing so. Adams would also incorporate many of the church leaders into his efforts as well in Massachusetts. Oh my goodness, the preachers became felons. Adams needed a focal point for his protest and wisely chose the stamp master as his designated target. Oh, the IRS collector. So on August the 14th of 1765, Samuel Adams and the Loyal Nine hung an effigy of the stamp master, whose name was Andrew Oliver, on a limb of what would become known in Massachusetts as the Liberty Tree. Also on the Liberty Tree hung the symbol of the much-hated Lord Bute, which was a large boot caricature with the devil crawling out of it. Now, I'm pretty sure that caricature would fit our government today. And you can put Biden's head on the serpent crawling out. The faithful Tory Governor Bernard, with the support of Tory Lieutenant Governor Thomas Hutchinson, both of whom were quite angered at this blatant insolence shown to the crown, just like the government was on January the 6th, decided to strike back. Hutchinson ordered the sheriff to cut the effigy down. The sheriff soon discovered that to follow through with the order would require placing himself or others in harm's way of the gathering crowds, so he chose not to carry out the order. What lessons right there? These badge toters, these bootlickers, will run out and do whatever they're ordered to do because that's what they're paid to do, not because it's right, because they're paid to do it. And they will go out, but if they met up with crowds of people numerically superior to them, they might decide not to do it. On the evening of the 14th, a very large crowd, gathered at the Liberty Tree. They proceeded to cut down the effigy and began a mock funeral procession through the streets. This procession was led by Ebenezer McIntosh with his group that were known as the South Enders in Boston. The procession wound its way to the council building chanting Liberty, Property, and No Stamps. After leaving that night, the group proceeded to a new building at the Kilby Street Dock, which had just been completed by Stamp Master Andrew Oliver, believing that would be the focal point of distribution for the required stamped papers. The crowd destroyed the new building entirely. Oh, on January 6th, people broke through the doors of the Capitol and they are all felons. But in Boston, the crowd destroyed a whole building. The crowd then proceeded to the home of Andrew Oliver, the tax collector, where they beheaded the carried effigy and stoned his house. They then proceeded to a nearby hill where the effigy was trampled and set afire. Following this demonstration, Ebenezer McIntosh returned to the home of Andrew Oliver and broke into his house, calling out to Oliver and threatening him with execution. Oh, does that sound like January 6th? Fortunately for Oliver, he had slipped away to the island of Castle William. Angered at not finding Oliver there, the crowd destroyed his home. Governor Bernard, much to his surprise, found that upon ordering the local militia to beat the drums and sound the alarm, that most of the militia and the drummers were actually part of the crowd that had committed the heinous act. Lieutenant Governor Hutchinson, being his arrogant self, went to Oliver's home to order the mob to cease and desist. Hutchinson and his sheriff were met with the shout, "The governor and the sheriff, to arms, my boys." Under a barrage of thrown stones, Hutchinson and the sheriff decided on a better course of action, get the hell out of Dodge. For quite a few years afterward, August the 14th was celebrated as a day on which they quote, "the happy day on which liberty awoke from a long slumber." Let me repeat that. The happy day on which liberty awoke from a long slumber. Samuel Adams would declare of this day, and I quote, "the people shouted, and their shout was heard to the distant end of this continent," unquote. The next day, the crowd again visited Stampmaster Oliver and informed him that the night before was just the beginning, and he could expect much worse if he did not resign his position. Oliver promised the gathering throng that he would request permission from the Crown to resign his position, but would take no actions whatsoever to enforce the Stamp Act. But guess what, folks? It just wasn't frickin' satisfactory to the group. The group demanded his immediate resignation. Then they proceeded to build a large bonfire and threatened to destroy the remnants of Oliver's home, as they had his dock building the night before. McIntosh and the others were able to talk the crowd out of the immediate destruction of the home at the time, but led the crowd to the home of Lieutenant Governor Hutchinson and surrounded it. Hutchinson, prior to their arrival, had fled his home, possibly to Castle William. Later, a faithful Tory declared himself to be made of much sterner stuff than Oliver and that he would not have succumbed to the pressure of the crowd. Adams and the Loyal Nine then publicly fixed the date of this Tory's home and scheduled its destruction. This brave Tory quickly retracted his previous statement. Were our ancestors made of sterner stuff than we are? Oh, God, that's a stupid question. Will we stand idly by and watch our liberty destroyed so as to appease our masters? As I wrote in a lesson, I said, please pardon my editorial, but this one really strikes home with me. How does the situation in this country today regarding our rights as granted by our Creator differ in magnitude from the tyranny and oppression that brought our ancestors out of their homes and into the streets in 1765? Will there ever be another day in America in which liberty wakes from a long slumber, or will we continue to swirl downwards into the cesspool of history? Unquote. Those words were mine from an article I wrote some time back. So we're headed to hell in a handbasket, not because we got a crooked government, but because we got a nation of frickin' cowards. Help me out here, Dave, before I get myself in trouble.
Well, Mike, you know, it's amazing. The stuff you were reading at the beginning of the show from 1984 is completely applicable to Operation COVID hoax that we're living through. And, you know, yeah, there's no question that our ancestors were made of sterner stuff. We've been thoroughly domesticated like farm animals now. And, you know, Mike, if you think about it, we're reaching a point very rapidly where, you know, we're at a point where if you don't take this death jab, this experimental vaccine, you will not be allowed to participate in society. That, you know, they even had one of these muckety mucks from the CDC saying we need to make life very difficult for the unvaccinated. She said that publicly on the air. So my question to you, Mike, is if you are forced to have a foreign substance injected into you, what kind of remnant of liberty could you possibly have left in your life?
There is none, Dave. We know liberty does not exist. Not in this country. It's all a fallacy. It's that double think thing. People think they're free while they succumb to tyranny. At the same time, they're holding two totally contradictory thoughts in their mind. You know, it's like to me, like the other day, I was at the post office and there was this lady there who probably, I would venture to say, her ass probably had its own zip code. And here she was outside pulling her mask away so she could smoke a cigarette. And she probably weighed 450 pounds, but she had the mask on.
Yeah. It's worried about COVID, but got to have that cigarette, man. That's so symbolic, isn't it?
Well, and the fact is, you know, how many hamburgers did she have for supper last night? That's, you know, it's incredible that the people in this country have absolutely freaking lost their minds. They are incapable of thought. And I think about this. One of the things that keeps popping into my head was a couple of years ago, I made this statement on Facebook that we have set ourselves up for this, that we are to blame for everything that's happening. We are to blame. And you would not believe the number of people who got so mad at me on Facebook, they blocked me. Sent me very nasty letters. I've done nothing. I didn't do anything to bring this on. I said, yeah, you've done nothing. That's why we've got it. But that's the point. That's where we are. You know, and we talk about the overthrow of government. And I wanted to get back to that point. Cal came up with something this morning I want him to delve into. So, Cal, get ready for that. But we look at some of the things that we're talking about overthrowing the government. We look at what it says in the Declaration of Independence. The people have a right, they have a duty to overthrow a government when it becomes oppressive. People, that takes it away from a right when it's made a duty. A duty means you're required to do it. You are required to overthrow a corrupt government. Anyone who says this government isn't corrupt, go ahead and commit suicide because you're done with anyway.
Well, and Mike, this is why they've created this morality play of the January 6th insurrection, which was a total play. And because this way, you know, it's just putting the morality message out to the general public. Well, you're a domestic terrorist if you dare to step foot in the Capitol building without a formal invitation.
Well, and you know, what is that supposed to be? Isn't that supposed to be the people's building, Dave?
That's what they claim. But again, this is another illusion. And, I actually have talked to a guy that was inside the building. And you know what he told me was that there was reporters that came inside the building with all these people. And lo and behold, the reporters were interested in only in photographing these well-known characters, you know, the guy with the buffalo hat on and some of these other clowns, but they had no interest in photographing anything else. It was very clear that they were on an assignment to for a very specific thing.
Well, Dave, I remember in 2010, I wrote an article, and in that article, I predicted and I stated that most of these groups that pop up somewhere talking about liberty, freedom, Second Amendment rights, all this other stuff, anytime any of those groups begins to get powerful, they're infiltrated by the feds. Always. There's not a doubt in my mind. So I put that in. The libertarian site that I was writing for at the time told me that I was issuing a clarion call for civil disobedience in this country, and I should, they couldn't publish my work because, gosh, you're a radical, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what the hell does it say on the masthead of your website? But, you know, that was, being hypocritical. But the key part to that to me, Dave, was I knew I had hit a Grand Slam home run in the bottom of the ninth with that article when 2 days later, I've got two black SUVs with federal agents in my yard wanting to know why I am anti-government. And they had a copy of the article. Now, the article hadn't been published, but they had a copy of it.
What did they say to you when they came to the door? I'm agent so-and-so, and you know how did the conversation go?
Well, I had an alarm at the end of my driveway. If anyone was coming in and I could see the end of my driveway, which was about a quarter of a mile away, I could see it from inside. I heard the alarm. I saw the two black SUVs. So I went outside. Now, you got to remember, this is cold weather. This is January. And in Colorado, it was cold. So these gentlemen come up and they get out of their vehicle and I'm standing outside and they said, well, we're here. It'd be okay if we come in the house. And I said, not no, but hell no. I don't want you in my house. I try to keep the vermin out. And they said, well, we want to know why you are anti-government. I said, I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corrupt government, you know, kind of like the one you guys work for. And they said, well, you know, we have this article. And I said, well, gosh, guys, that's pretty good. How'd you get an article that hadn't been published yet? Well, they didn't want to talk about that, but they did go into detail. Oh, well, you know, you've got, then they tried to play bad cop, good cop. And, I guess I'm just too damn dumb to be intimidated, but it didn't intimidate me at all. And one of them said, well, we want a copy of a hard drive. We want a copy of everyone on your email list. And I said, well, you know, guess what? You ain't getting it. He said, well, you know, we can go get a warrant. I said, if you would have had probable cause, you would have brought a warrant. And so we went back and forth, but they were there because of that article. So I knew right away that they did not want their operation exposed, that they had infiltrated these groups. They did not want that to become public knowledge. They did not want people realizing that they had actually inhabited the Oath Keepers and the Constitutional Sheriff's Association with federal agents.
Right.
That was the two groups I mentioned. They did not want people to know that.
Well, Mike, what about your free speech, though, Mike?
Oh, well, it was free. I didn't charge them for it. But that is, why would they show up? If it wasn't true, why would they care?
They probably wanted to know how you knew it.
Well, maybe that was the answer. We need a list of all of the people on your email list. And I did make the comment, well, if you have an article that appeared on my email list that hasn't been published yet, you probably got everybody that's on my email list anyway.
Right.
But anyway, that was the, and they told me they were going to get a warrant to come back and get my hard drive. So I removed the hard drive from my computer and destroyed it. Not before making a copy, which I put in a off-property location. But anyway, they never came back.
Mike?
Go ahead, Cal.
Well, this people you wrote the article for, that also shows that they have been compromised or infiltrated.
Well, I had figured that out before because there were certain articles that I had written that they wouldn't publish. When I mentioned certain groups controlling the government, they wouldn't publish those articles. When I published a quote from Stonewall Jackson, they altered the quote, and we were on contentious grounds anyway, but that article was the one that broke the camel's straw that broke the camel's back.
As further evidence that if you gain any traction in any kind of organized group, you will be infiltrated, period, by the government.
Absolutely.
Any group. any group and every group, the Tea Party, BLM, are both infiltrated.
Well, guys, I made this comment, and I'm kind of jumping ship here a little bit, but I made this comment to a friend of mine in Arkansas on the phone by text a couple of days ago. And I said, during my lifetime, I have been involved in three movements that I felt like really had a chance of exposing this government for what it was. And all three of those movements were overtaken and destroyed by the Republican Party. Not the Democrats, but the Republicans. And the Republicans took over all three of those operations and destroyed them. Milked them for all the money they could get out of them and then destroyed them. And those three operations were in the 1980s with the POW/MIA movement, which we were exposing a lot of government fraud over three wars, how they had left our fighting men and women in the hands of the communists. We were exposing that. We were exposing the fact that that's probably what got George Patton killed. We were exposing those facts. They infiltrated our group, the American Foundation for Accountability of POW and MIAs, and they infiltrated that by their famous tactics. They came in and they gave people money. And then we had one of the leaders of the group who was in his mid to late 60s who suddenly had a very beautiful, vivacious 23-year-old girlfriend. And it just, I was absolutely amazed that he couldn't see it. Well, I tried to tell him, you know, what do you think this woman sees in you? Okay. Well, they destroyed the movement and they finished the destruction of the POW/MIA movement. They completed the destruction of that at the 1988 Republican National Convention in New Orleans. What the Republican Party did there was absolute criminal toward liberty. And it was absolutely criminal toward the family members of POWs and MIAs.
Well, Mike, if I could just add about this infiltration of groups, you know, even in the 1950s and the 1960s, the government had infiltrated UFO groups because they were concerned about what they were saying. And by the 1960s, there was more government agents within the Ku Klux Klan than actual real Ku Klux Klan members. So this infiltration thing is bigger than we think even, I believe.
Well, Dave, you brought up an interesting point. Let's go back to 1972, I am undercover in a rural part of South Carolina. And I am completing a task for my master's, and it took me a while to figure them out. But anyway, I was working undercover, and I had these two good old country boys come up to me, and we had gotten to know each other over a period of time, and I was using them to obtain information. And so they stopped by my place one day, and they said, "Hey, man, why don't you go on with us now? We're going down to so-and-so, and we're going to a Klan meeting. Say, you want to, why don't you go with us, and why don't you join with us and join the Klan?" And then, Dave, they told me something very unusual. They said, "But you got to be really careful, because we know that over half of the people there are either government agents or informants. So be careful what you say."
Yeah.
Now, that's 1972. So, yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. They infiltrate everything. But anyway, my article in 2010, for anyone who would like it, you know, you can check. The title of my article was "Comfortable Patriotism." And again, I knew I was on target when they got so upset about that. But Cal, again, brought up a very valid point. And Cal, I tell you what, we're getting close to the top of the hour, so I want you to launch into that discussion as soon as we get to the flip side on this hour. But people, we are not free in this country because the majority of people in this country do not want to be free. They want to be comfortable. But that comfort's about to go away. Now, how many people do you think would be willing, Dave, to go down and gladly line up to take the jab if the government would only promise them, if they took it, everything go back to normal? What percentage of the population would take it, Dave? Uh-oh. Are we still good? Dave, you there? Cal?
I would say at least 50%, and then that 50 to 55% would insist that everybody else be forced to take it so that we can go back to normal. Even though there will be nothing normal after you have that jab.
Well, you know, every coward that I've ever known really wishes that everyone around him was a coward too. Is there any validity to that?
Oh, yeah. Follows misery loves company. And everybody's got to believe what you believe. It's mob rule. It's will of the majority. It's no longer consent of the governed. It's will of the majority, which is mob rule.
That is somewhat amazing, is it not?
Yeah, well, you know, it says in the Declaration of Independence that, you know, governments are instituted among men, you know, drawing their just powers from the consent of the governed. And now the government operates on the will of the majority. That's not consent of the governed. So I don't understand how the Constitution follows the principles in the Declaration of Independence on that point alone. And there's many others.
Well, you know, when we think about this double thing, and Newspeak and this other stuff that Orwell mentioned, let's think of a quote from 1984. And that is, if you want to keep a secret, you must also hide it from yourself. How valid is that today with the people who believe they are free, Cal?
Very valid. That's basically explaining cognitive dishonesty. They just have to hide the truth from themselves. They have to hide that secret from themselves. The secret is you're not free, but nobody's willing to admit it.
And do you think that might be the reason that if you expose the truth to these people,
it upsets them?
They get very upset because you're making them force the fact that they believe something that is false.
What was that show? A Few Good Men? You can't handle the truth. They can't.
Oh, yeah. Jack Nicholson, what a great great performance.
Yeah, they want the truth. They can't handle the truth. They reject the truth.
You know, another quote from Orwell's 84 is, who controls the path controls the future, and who controls the present controls the past. Now, how relevant is that to the fact that we don't teach actual history in this country?
Spot on. It's spot on, and they're continually revising it. They're changing the narrative as they go along now. Everything goes down the memory hole, and we get something new.
Well, also, and I love this one from 1984, and that is, the best books are those that tell you what you know already. All right. See you folks on the flip side. Come back with us and dare to think out loud.
There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, When the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, welcome back to Dare to Think Out Loud, something that most Americans have a real problem doing. They can emotionally blab, but they have a real problem with actual cognitive discussion. Cal, I said that starting on this side, that I wanted you to go into some depth with what you sent me earlier and to tell the people, and oh, just give them the story of what you sent me. I think it's a beautiful point, very well made. And so throw it at them. Unmute, Cal.
Well, there you are.
I
got to tap my phone like three times to get it to unmute. Well, what I did was I sent you an article this morning, and do you have it? Because nobody can read an article as well as you can.
Oh, well, gosh, let me blab for a minute till I find it.
Okay.
I know I got it.
Well, while we're doing that, if we could just revisit Mike's point he was making about those people who are locked up from the January 6th insurrection, he posed the question of what kind of a defense could they use? Could they use the Declaration of Independence as a defense? And it took him about four tries to get me to understand what he was asking. So it can be difficult to understand where Mike was leading it. But the point was, when he refined his question, he said, what would the judge tell the defense attorney if he said that my clients are standing upon what was written in the Declaration of Independence? And it's like, that's when it clicked. It's like, well, the judge would tell him that has no standing in this court of law. So that would mean that in the government's court of law, the Declaration of Independence has no standing, has no bearing, has no meaning. Which means the principles of the Declaration of Independence don't exist in this government. And that's the point Mike was making. And I just wanted to point that out because it's so easy to overlook until you see it. And then once you see it, you can't unsee it. And okay. it was a great, the way you presented that, Mike, when you presented it, it was perfect. And like DW said last week, you're sneaky. That was good.
Well, let me ask you a question, Cal, on that subject, and then I'll get into reading the article. I have it in front of me now.
Okay.
But here's a question. If let's put ourselves into that hypothetical situation. I'm representing you. You are a January 6th involved person who's been charged by the government. So I'm your counselor. So we go into court and I say, well, Your Honor, what you're doing here is you are my client has been charged on for a crime of actually following the dictates of his state constitution and following the dictates of the Declaration of Independence, wherein it says it is not only his right, but it is his duty to overthrow a corrupt government. Now, it is your response that the judge would say that those have no standing in his courtroom. Is that right?
That's what the judge would say.
Well, then I would say to his honor or her honor or there's still clowns in black gowns, but that probably would be held in contempt if I said that in open court. So then I would say, well, you know what, Your Honor? I can read you at least five Supreme Court decisions where they referenced the Declaration of Independence and used it as a basis for a ruling or a decision. What would be your judge's comment to that, Cal?
Probably he's not aware of any such decisions, which you would have to now provide.
Well, I would have them ready, I promise you.
Okay.
So if I said wherever my client was from, let's say my client, was from, let's really get out there.
Take the guy with the buffalo hat. He's from Arizona. I'm from Arizona. Let's use him.
Well, we could use him, and we could go to the Constitution of the state of Arizona, and we could say, well, Your Honor, in the Constitution of the State of Arizona, it says that the people themselves are sovereign and have the sovereign right to overthrow, to rewrite their government. So
I would turn to you and point to Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution.
Right, but then
your state constitution is meaningless.
Well, and you would be, here's what I'm saying is I think we have to get these people to expose themselves.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah, that's what this does. Your state constitution is meaningless because of the supremacy clause. Because of the kingly prerogative of the negative.
But I would say then, but Your Honor, the wording of the Supremacy Clause itself says that as the only laws that are supreme are those which are in pursuance of the Constitution, and it doesn't stipulate which Constitution.
Well, it says in pursuance of the welfare of the Union. Whatever is thought necessary and proper. And apparently, the federal government thinks it's necessary and proper that the principles of the Declaration of Independence don't apply to it.
Well, I think it's, like I said, I would have no hope of winning such a case, but I think at some point in time, it would be absolutely fantastic to get the courts to declare, just like the government declared in November, that your voting rights are out the window because it doesn't make any difference how you vote. It doesn't make any difference what you do. We are in control and we will do whatever we want to, whenever we want to, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, that's what the Constitution says.
Well, I think we'd probably...
Break the truth to everybody, but that's what the U.S. Constitution says. This people are sovereign and the states are sovereign. That's all a myth, people. It's not true.
Well,
it's a myth. If this went through the Supreme Court, I just told you what the Supreme Court would say, and that would prove to everybody that, which is why this will never go to the Supreme Court.
Well, there was this congressman in the first Congress from Massachusetts, and he's, I can't remember his first name right now, might have been Thomas, but his last name was Sewall, S-E-W-A-L-L. And he said something in the first Congress that should have been a wake-up call for everyone, and Congressman Sewall said the only sovereign in this country now is the federal government.
Yeah.
So this is not new, Cal.
No, it was written into the Constitution in 1787. People just didn't see it, and the Federalists who wrote the Federalist paper lied.
Well,
the anti-Federalists like Patrick Henry pointed it out. This will destroy the states. This will destroy liberty. Well, liberty involves the individual being their own sovereign. Well, if you destroy liberty, you've destroyed the sovereignty of the people, of the individual. They're hand in hand. Those aren't contradictory terms. Those go hand in hand. Liberty and sovereignty of the individual.
Well, should we get into the discussion here, I think, which would be most relevant, the discussion between James Wilson and George Mason at the Constitutional Convention about the Bill of Rights?
Please, yes, please do.
Well, George Mason makes a motion to include a Bill of Rights into the Constitution. And James Wilson says, no, we do not need a Bill of Rights in this Constitution because the people have their state constitutions, and therefore they don't need a Bill of Rights in their federal constitution. So they can always exercise their state their rights under their state constitutions.
But we just established that the state's constitutions are meaningless. I just wanted to put that in before you go on.
Well, but let's wait.
They could have that in the back of their mind.
Let's see how Mason responded, which I think is very, very explanatory. So Wilson says, no, you've got all of your state constitutions. You've got all the bills of rights in those, and you have all of that. And George Mason says, wait a minute. Mr. James Wilson, the Caledonian. Let's bring something out here in the Constitution that sits before us. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. The ability of the government to tax the people in any form for any amount. Okay. For anything that would needed for the general welfare. Okay, then let's go down to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, which says that the federal government can do anything which it deems necessary and proper. And then let's move on to Article 6, Paragraph 2, which makes any ruling by the federal courts or the federal government supreme over all of the states. Mr. Wilson, the states have no Bill of Rights. Now, you remember being taught that in school, right, Cal?
Yes. No, Mike. No, they did not teach you that in school. They teach you that the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are almost like the same document written by the same people at the same time. Which is so absurd from reality. It's unreal.
So shortly after this exchange between Mr. Wilson and Mr. Mason said, I would rather chop off my right hand than sign this document.
Yep.
That's pretty emphatic. So, let me see. So this is the same document that was inspired by God, right?
Sure.
Wow. Well, sure we lost our producer there. He took off for some reason. Okay. So looking at this, and then let's take a look at that what you sent me. Okay, and here I will read it. News flash. Dateline, July 16th, 2021. The Secretary of Defense or Secretary of War conspires to overthrow the federal government. Ooh. In a recently discovered memo from the Secretary of War, it has been discovered that he and the other politically connected insiders, politicians, and other former military brass have been planning on bringing down the current federal government. The Secretary of War cited the recent insurrection as the reason that this drastic measure must be undertaken. The Secretary of War is quoted as saying, in my former letters, I mentioned that men of reflection and principle were tired of the imbecilities of this present government. But I do not point out any substitute. It would be prudent to form the plan of a new house before we pull down the old one. This goes beyond just replacing who is in government to replacing the whole constitution and form of government, and it is apparent from this recently discovered letter that the parties involved have been conspiring in secret to implement a plan to replace the existing constitution with a new form of government. Is that the article you were referring to, Cal?
Yeah, that's the one.
Now, why don't you explain to the people the import of that?
Well, I just wonder what most people would think if, you know, the Secretary of War or Secretary of Defense was scheming with other political insiders and former military brass to bring down the current constitution and the current government, what would they consider that? I mean, would that be considered treason? Should those conspirators be found and held as treasonous if they can be identified? Would you think so, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, that letter is a letter written. Let me see if I can find the date on it. I had it here a minute ago, and I went through some other paperwork. It was written on January 14th, 1787, from the Secretary of War at that time, Henry Knox, to none other than George Washington. So that shows that prior to, note the date, it's January 14th, 1787, before the convention, that they were planning on bringing down the existing government. He says so in Knox's own words, before we pull down the old one. That shows conspiracy to commit treason. And George Washington was involved in it, along with the other insider connected political insiders and former military brass. I just wanted to point that out, to put what happened back then into perspective of if it happened today, what people would think.
Well, as I said,
I hope people understand the point in that exercise.
Well, as people have said before, Cal, and I hear it all the time, but we have a constitution and we have a Bill of Rights. We have this, we have that. Cal, I got this question for you and for you folks listening. What good is a constitution and a Bill of Rights if it will not restrain a government from doing unconstitutional things?
Mike, words don't constrain governments, people do.
Aha, now you get to my point. Now you get to my point. And here is what I wrote yesterday. And its constitutions are utterly worthless to restrain the tyranny of government unless those people in government understand that the people will, by force, compel the government to keep within their own constitutional limits. These people will never stay within the restraints of the Constitution until they're afraid to go outside of the restraints of the Constitution. Because obviously they have no morals that will keep them within the restraints of the Constitution. They have a financial incentive to trash the Constitution. They have a personal aggrandizement to... Yeah, what was it Nancy Pelosi said about the Obamacare thing when asked about the Constitution one time? Is this constitutional? And she went into a little hissy fit. Constitutional? What are you talking about? Constitutional. These people do not believe they have any limits. The reason they do not have any believe they have any limits is because none have ever been imposed on them. They do whatever the hell they want to. And there's only one way.
They do whatever they think is necessary and proper.
Well, to them, not to us.
Well, they're the ones writing the laws.
Well, here is...
They got delegated the power to write the laws. Somehow.
Here's something else I wrote yesterday. It is perfectly self-evident that where there is no legal right to resist the oppression of the government, there can never be rightful liberty.
True.
If you don't have the right to resist tyranny, you are not free. And I read you at the beginning of this, I read you 18 USC 2384, which says that if you try to resist tyranny, you are a felon. I don't know how much more it's going to take for people to understand that this Constitution and this Bill of Rights are absolutely useless because the people in power do not fear them. The legislators do not fear, do not fear the Constitution. They do not fear the people. And as Horace Greeley once said, you can have all of the rules you want. If you do not have the means of enforcing those rules, all you have are merely suggestions. The president, the Congress, the courts, the prosecutors, the cops, all they have are suggestions. They can choose to adhere to them or not at their whim. The legislature can write unconstitutional laws. The president can sign unconstitutional laws. The police can enforce unconstitutional laws. And the judges can rule, and the prosecutors can prosecute unconstitutional laws, and the judges can put people in prison for unconstitutional laws, and there ain't a damn thing you can do about it. Nothing. And it happens every day in this country. People who want to be free have to be brave. And we have a nation of cowards afraid to be free. Cal, help me out here before I get in trouble again.
Oh, no, that's fine, Mike. If I can, you know, kind of shift gears just a little bit, I'm going to pull out that famous letter from that we've talked about a few times, that letter from Madison to George Washington on April 6th. Well, Mike offered a challenge or a question a while back, if anybody taken a certain constitutional class that's offered. So nobody had an answer. And I was, you know, I all of a sudden, because he asked a question, started getting Facebook notices to take this class. So I signed up for it and I've started the class, and it's got me going down all kinds of rabbit holes because the doublespeak that comes from the curriculum is almost overwhelming. It's beyond being able to even explain. But one of the things I've discovered is from this letter, it says, in a like manner, the right of coercion should be expressly declared. This is Madison speaking to Washington, saying that we need to have the right of coercion. What is the right of coercion? Well, that's what a law is. That is the right. They have the right to make a law. That they have the right to force you to do something through law. So when you turn to the Constitution and you go to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, where it says to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So now they have expressed that they have the right of coercion right there. So Madison accomplished that goal for the Federalists. Now turn to all of the first 10 amendments. Is there any right of coercion listed with them? Well, no, there's not. Turn to the 13th Amendment. 13th Amendment, Section 2. It says Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. In other words, Congress is expressing it has the right to coerce you. Article 14, Section 5. The Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. This goes on and on through the other amendments. Is there any where stated in the first 10 amendments that we call a Bill of Rights, anything where Congress has the right to enforce the Bill of Rights? They mentioned the rights, but they never put anything in there to enforce the Bill of Rights. So it's going to be up to the people to enforce the Bill of Rights, not Congress. Is that a clear enough point, Mike?
Oh, yeah, undoubtedly. Well, Cal, I'm going to jump back in time here a little bit, and I'm going to throw something out. What if the president, what if the Congress, what if the judges, the judicial branch, what if all three alleged branches of government know that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, even as weak as it is, have been suspended by federal rule? What if they know it and we don't?
They would do exactly what they're doing now.
Aha! And they wouldn't worry about any repercussions, because even what few restraints the people might have or might be able to use in the Constitution or Bill of Rights are suspended. Now, what are the chances that the Constitution and Bill of Rights have been formally suspended, Cal?
Probably completely. Ever since Lincoln suspended habeas corpus.
Well, let's get a little bit more recent. Let's go back to
the Patriot Act.
Let's go back to
one of the Patriot Acts suspended it.
Let's go back to September the 12th of 2001. At that time, President George W. Bush, because of 9/11, using that as justification, he enacted the continuity of government plan, which suspended the Constitution. So it was suspended on September the 12th. So you're going to say, hey, rebel madman, hey, you've lost your mind, Cal, you're crazy. It didn't happen. Well, folks, let me refer you to an article in the Washington Post, which I call Pravda on the Potomac. So let me refer you to that, and let me refer you to the Friday, March the 1st of 2002. You know what? 6 months after 9/11. And here is that article in the Washington Post. Now, most people probably never saw it. Most people who saw it didn't think anything about it. But here's what it said, especially with all of the clamor about 9/11. So here's what the article said. President Bush has dispatched a shadow government of about 100 senior civilian managers to live and work secretly outside Washington, activating for the first time long-standing plans to ensure survival of federal rule after any catastrophic attack on the nation's capital or government. Execution of the classified continuity of operation plan resulted not from the Cold War threat of intercontinental missiles, the scenario rehearsed for decades, but from heightened fears that the Al-Qaeda terrorist network might somehow obtain a portable nuclear weapon, according to three officials with firsthand knowledge. U.S. intelligence has no specific knowledge of any such weapon, they said, but the risk is thought great enough to justify the shadow government's disruption and expense. Deployed on the fly in the first hours of turmoil on September 11th, one participant said the shadow government has evolved into an indefinite precaution. Okay, that's not the entire article. For people who want that entire article, I could certainly provide it for you. But it was in the Washington Post. All right, now you're going to say, well, you know, gosh, you know, that was September 11th, and wow, did we, that's all over. Well, we do know that on May the 9th, 2007, with National Security Directive 51 and Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20, George W. Bush continued the secret government. Only the unclassified portions of these directives were ever published. When Congressman Peter DeFazio of the Homeland Security Commission asked to see the classified portions of this presidential and Homeland Security directive, his request was denied. Now, we also know that under Obama, he continued the continuity of government plans as established during the Bush administration on July the 27th of 2009, stating, and I quote, "No distance between their own policies and those left behind by the Bush administration will be, nothing will be changed," is in essence what he said. So then we know that Obama then extended it again during his administration. Now we know this is classified, but we also know that there is no record whatsoever under the Trump administration of any of these National Security Acts or Homeland Security Acts being rescinded. None whatsoever. So we have, I believe this, I totally believe this, we have a criminal enterprise in power in this country that has suspended the Constitution and Bill of Rights and rules by secret orders from this shadow government. Elections mean nothing, people. Imagine that. Electing a person to Congress who has no power when it comes to confronting this shadow government is an effort in futility. Electing a new president is a waste of time, money, and effort. He or she has already bought into this madness, or they would not stand a chance of being elected, for the cabal-controlled mainstream media is truly the electorate in this country. They declare who or who is not electable, and the masses follow their lead. Now, who in the media has ever told you that the election in November of 2020 was a complete fraud? No one in the media. As a matter of fact, they go just bat crap crazy if someone brings it up. If someone brings it up, they are fully attacked. We see that over and over and over again. The fact that the 2020 election was a fraud should be obvious to Ray Charles. And he's both dead and blind. It is my contention, people, that all of these things that they used 9/11 to implement this continuity in government plan, we are being ruled by people we have no say-so over. And every day they get stronger. And they used over and over again, this election thing was to get the people all wound up. January 6th was to look like, oh, these crazy domestic terrorists are trying to overthrow the government. And there are a lot of good people who have been charged criminally in this January the 6th thing. And they were used and used blatantly by operatives, federal operatives within these so-called patriot organizations.
Well, Mike?
Yes, sir.
I've noticed there's been quite an uptick in news articles surrounding Trump as of late. Is that to bring the emotions of the people back up?
Well, absolutely. You know, there's a twofold in a PSYOP, in any PSYOP. You know, as you and I were talking about, I looked at six headline articles at CNN News this morning, five of them contain Trump in one form or another. Bolton bashes Trump, blah, 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 blah. Those things are used for polarization. Trump shouldn't be in the headlines about a damn thing. But it's used for polarization. You keep the right-wing conservative Christian element jumping up and down because their God is being attacked. So you keep the people polarized. A polarized, divided people will never revolt against the tyranny.
Well, the right's also being domesticated or neutered or to speak, to where, you know, if violence is necessary, then, you know, violence is necessary. You know, that it was once stated the Tree of Liberty must be, you know, refreshed from time to time with the blood of tyrants and patriots. I'm watching the right basically neutering itself. You know, violence, oh no, you can peacefully protest. Well, that's really nice of the government to allow you to bitch and complain at them, because they don't care. Complain all you want. We're going to pass whatever rule we can get over on you. That's where I see it going. I'm standing back outside, you know, looking at the forest or the trees. What are you doing, people? I mean, 80,000 armed people descend on Richmond because they're upset about a law that's going to be passed. The governor puts up an arbitrary sign of no gun zone, and everybody armed, 80,000 of them, complied with it. Not one crossed that line. What good did it do? The law got passed, and it showed to the powers that be that, yeah, these people who claim they, you know, are all about guns and protecting them, yeah, they're not going to use them. They've neutered themselves. And that's just my perspective. Am I off on that, Mike?
No, but I believe, and, you know, and unfortunately with the oxymoronic profession I once had called government intelligence, I know what a PSYOP is, and I know how they're implemented, and I know how they're used. And I've made this statement, and I made this statement in 2016, and I've made a lot of enemies then. I've made a lot of enemies since. I've got a lot of people that were once friends that don't talk to me anymore, and that is fine because they proved they weren't real friends. But here is my belief. My belief is this pandemic thing, and I think there is multiple clues to say that this was a planned out event, probably at least a decade earlier. Yeah. Well, I wrote in 2009, I wrote that we would have a pandemic with a forced vaccination. Well, you know, who am I? I'm a dumb old country rebel hick who doesn't know anything. But in 2009, I wrote the article predicting the pandemic and predicting the forced vaccination. I can prove it. Okay, well, how did I know that? Well, I don't know. Well, I used to be involved in psychological operations. But I believe totally, and I'll stand by it. I think that eventually somewhere in history, I don't think I'll still be alive, but I think somewhere in history, it will be proved unequivocally that Donald Trump was a psychological operation. Because you're planning down the road, you're planning this pandemic that you're going to use to do the greatest wealth transfer in the history of the planet. And you're going to subjugate the people to more tyranny than anyone would even expect. And if you're planning this psychological operation, if I'm in the planning stages, one of the first things I'm going to say is, how do I neutralize the people who would most likely resist? How do I neutralize those people? How do I not only neutralize them, but how do I get them on board with my plans? Okay. And I look at it objectively and I say, okay, well, if I've got Hillary Clinton as president, and I tell the right-wing conservative Christians in this country, we've got a pandemic, and Hillary tells them they've got a pandemic, and Hillary tells them they've got to put on a mask, and Hillary tells them they've got to close down their business, the right-wing conservative element in America is going to say, up yours, bitch. They would never, ever go along with it if Hillary would have been president. They would have distrusted it from the word go, because they don't trust Hillary. They don't trust the Democrats. So if I'm going to get the people that are most likely to resist, if I want to bring them on board, what's that old saying, Cal?
In order to control the opposition, you need to lead the opposition.
You need to lead the opposition. So I bring in a man who has no connections whatsoever with government. Bullshit.
True.
You don't operate in the city of New York in the real estate business without a whole bunch of political connections. You don't get bankers to rush in and save you from in your bankrupt periods over and over again if you're not politically connected, people. It just doesn't happen. But we have a populist. We've sprung a populist on the people 2016. Here's this populist, and he represents the people. He's not going to take a salary because he's so damn rich. He doesn't need one. That should have been your first clue. So here you are, 2016. You bring this guy in, and the first thing you do once he's nominated is start your full frontal broadside attacks, both on him, day after day after day. You don't give the man a chance to breathe. He has nothing. Everything he does is wrong, according to the media. Does that make the right-wing Christian conservative people distrust him? Hell no. That builds their trust and their dependence on him. You turn him into a cult figure with all of these attacks by the liberals. So then, oh my goodness. And then, so in 2017, Anthony Fauci says, well, in 2020, Trump's going to be faced with a pandemic. Well, how the hell did he know? So then you've got Trump, and Trump says what? Okay, all right. He keeps Fauci. He keeps him. He's the big guy because he didn't have a choice. So Fauci's the guy. Trump is draining the swamp. But when he made sure that when he came in, he kept a whole lot of the big alligators for the swamp. And then he brought in a few more. He kept Kissinger. He kept Madeleine Albright. He kept John Bolton. He kept Michael Flynn, who was a lifelong Democrat. There's nothing a good Republican loves more than a Democrat in uniform. So here it is. You lay it out perfectly. Then suddenly it comes on. Trump supports everything. The mask. He supports the closing down of businesses. Oh, it's all going to be over in about 6 weeks. Everything will be fine. And then almost immediately, what does Trump grasp and say? Oh, Operation Warp Speed. I'll use the military to enforce, to implement. He didn't say enforce. I'm sorry. I'll use the military to implement Operation Warp Speed. I'll use every facility. I'll use every truck. I'll use every soldier. I'll do everything to bring on this vaccine. If Hillary would have said the same thing, maybe a half a million people would have taken the damn thing, or maybe a few more. Now he's the father of the vaccine. He said so. But the people love him. So you accomplish two things by keeping Trump in the headlines every day. Number one, you continue the polarization of the people. You got the Trump people over here. You got the other ones over there. Also, you learn another thing with a psyop. You throw out his name and you gauge reaction. You keep throwing out his name. If they ever throw out Trump's name in all of these articles and they get zero reaction from the people, Trump will be gone. You'll never hear from him again. That is the way these people operate. That is exactly what they're doing. And I know, you know, maybe 3-4 people in the world believe it. That's fine. I'm not going to worry about it.
Mikey, you speak ahead. To the elections. So many on the right, I mean, they can see that these presidential elections going back to Nixon or even before, they've all been rigged. I mean, I have, you know, people, Trump supporters admit that all up and down the board. You know, all of these elections have been rigged except for Trump. Somehow Trump snuck past the powers that be. And I'm just like, really? If they're powerful enough to rig these elections, no, Trump did not just slip past them.
Trump just slipped by, Cal. He accomplished things nobody expected. What's wrong with you?
I get in all kinds of trouble when I try to explain to people that the same people that chose Biden this time are the exact same people that chose Trump last time. People just cannot grasp that concept. Presidents are selected, not elected.
Well, you also throw out your polarization plan. You know, you talk about gun control and you get Trump to say, well, we'll take the guns first, due process second. Which, if Hillary would have said that, the right would have erupted. The right would have been in the streets. It would have been mass chaos among the people if Hillary would have said, take the guns first, due process second. But because your polarization has worked, the Trump people defended his saying that by saying he's got a secret deal going called 4D chess. And stop and think about all of the things that have been said since November, all of the things that have come and died. Oh, Q, all of these people. Oh, on March, we're going to take over the government. You know, there's going to be mass executions. All of these Democrats are going to be arrested and all of these sealed indictments. You know, that Q went through sealed indictments from 2017 onward.
Well, the next date is August 13th, Mike.
Pardon me?
The next date, Trump's going to be reinstated on August 13th. That's the latest. Oh, that comes from that CEO of MyPillow or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. He's come out and said that's when it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, you know, and he would know, right? He learned it from his pillows.
It amazes me how all these people are inside all this secret information, but the government's not somehow. It just blows me away.
Well, I remember even on this platform here at Revolution Radio, I remember the people who were just every day out there. Oh, my information is I've got all of these sources and I've got all of these people who I've got all these connections and these people telling me that this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And it went on and on and on, and it's never happened.
Well, they act like they have information the government doesn't have. Part of the government's listening to everything we do? They're monitoring this conversation right now that Mike and I are having, which is why we kind of got to be careful on how we phrase certain things. Oh, man, I don't understand it. The cognitive dishonesty of the people. And it is from the people. Yeah, the system's corrupt. Yeah, the Constitution was a criminal conspiracy. But the thing is the people are putting up with it. The power is supposed to reside in the people. Your state constitution says so. The Declaration of Independence says so. It's that damn document from 1787 that's telling you different, and it's what's stopping you.
Well,
sorry,
I'm
getting a little passionate, Mike.
No, that's all right. That's the way we should be. But if you get people to believe these things, they just keep hanging on. If I want you to tolerate me coming in and robbing you tomorrow, Cal, all I have to do is to tell you that next Thursday they'll catch me and put me in prison.
Yeah, it's opium.
And you will continue to allow me to rob you, believing, and then if next Thursday comes and I come in and I hold you up again and take all your money and your car and your boat, and you're okay because someone told you that in 2 weeks they're going to bring me in with a sealed indictment and hang my ass.
Yeah, and it continues to happen time after time after time. The only thing that changes with the change of regimes or administrations is the cadence of the march towards tyranny and despotism. That's my viewpoint.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that, my friend. No doubt whatsoever. Okay. Not in any way, shape, form, or fashion. That's for sure.
The sooner people realize that, maybe the sooner changes can be made. But
well, they're not going to.
You can't fix a problem until you admit there's a problem.
They don't want to wake up. They absolutely do not want to wake up.
It's because they have
no incentive to wake up. They have an incentive to stay asleep. They don't have an incentive to wake up. Folks, if you would like to follow me on some of my works and stuff, please Telegram channel, Rebel Madman, and Constitutional Fraud. And I know that the great majority don't believe any of this. They're living it every day, and they still don't believe it. You know, it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, Cal, we're running out of time here, buddy. Tell me something that I ought to know.
Oh, it's the other way around, Mike. You're the one always teaching me stuff that I don't know. But, you know, I want to thank you for all the challenges you put out there. It's Mike's 200 steps ahead of me, and it's a struggle and a challenge to keep up with him with his knowledge, insight, wisdom, and experience. But I try, and I just hope other people will try too. There's a few of his groups that Mike's in charge of. Yeah, there's a lot of students of his that they're trying too, and my hat's off to them as well. Those in Mike's studies groups. I appreciate every one of them as well.
Well, I appreciate that, Cal, and I appreciate you and people. You have two choices. You can just float on down the stream and go over the cliff, or you can wake up, swim to the shore, and frickin' do something. If you don't want to do it for yourself, do it for your kids and grandkids. That's one of the things that keeps me going every day. Yes.
Can you remind the people of the radio shows that you do?
Well, we're out of time, guys. We're out of time. We should have gotten to that a little earlier. Cal, thank you for coming on. Dave, thank you for getting us onto this program. Folks, have a wonderful weekend.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
alert, alert, listen up now.
Tune into Crypto Corner with Crypto 0xe0513.
We talk about decentralization and